This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In 1 week, Bexar County voters are going to be able to start casting their early ballots on Proposition A and B. If approved, it would raise the venue tax on the proposed new Spurs Arena and improvements to the Joe Freeman Coliseum grounds for a proposed year-round rodeo. We're joined by San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, who's been working hard to hold the Spurs organization accountable and transparent in their plans for Proposition B. And Mayor Jones, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, good to be with you.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Mayor Jones.
Let me just, right off the bat, though, yeah. Right? I think what's important is, you know, there's a lot of players involved in this, and we've got a checkbook of which this is one piece. One of the things that we are doing this Wednesday at B session, I asked Eric to do this, help us think through how we're going to accomplish this, is we just finished our FY26 budget. FY27, it's going to be a $150 million gap. So, yeah, that keeps me up at night. And if we don't close that, if we don't help ourselves, right, that thing grows to $220 million by 2030. We don't have all the answers, but what I think is important is that we try to reduce the uncertainty. And so one of the things we'll do this Wednesday at B session is lay out kind of a framework for how we're going to conduct this tabletop. And again, as you've heard me share, that tabletop is really designed to reduce uncertainty. What are those questions that are keeping us up at night, not only as we work to close that gap in our budget in 27, but also as we begin to see the implementation of these federal cuts, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, Children's Health Insurance Program, and SNAP, food assistance. These cuts, it's not if, it is when, and we will begin to see that. On top of, yes, of course, you know, just being named the third most impoverished city in our community. We're unfortunately, you know, seeing some of the impacts of the economy already as we see some job losses. On top of, yes, we are in the middle of a doggone federal shutdown, right? On top of many in our community, unfortunately, having been impacted by the DOGE cuts. So that's when I say, you know, I know we're talking about kind of the arena here, but as mayor, and I think it's really important that we lay out our full financial picture, at least as we know it, and we acknowledge the things that we don't know, but we also know that we will begin to see some of these federal cuts continue as, again, we also deal with the impacts of tariffs, as we also deal with the impacts of immigration policies that are frankly making it harder for us to have the labor necessary to keep costs down. So I lay all of that out. This, for me, is much broader discussion about our fiscal responsibility in the city and the number of things that we're looking at. As mentioned, you know, we've got that kind of initial discussion about the tabletop. I also just, we're also going to be looking at, again, that bond. You've heard me discuss that bond that we do every 5 years, you know, historically that we were anticipating kind of a $1.9 billion bond just based on what 2022 was and based on what 2017 was. But, you know, based on our fiscal reality, that bond is $500 million. As of now, you know, if the economy improves, then great. But right now, that's like saying we were going to go into the grocery store with $20 and we only got $5. And oh, by the way, everything is a lot more expensive. So, you know, between more funding for an affordable housing bond, certainly the bond needed to pay for the infrastructure related to the downtown development, which would support the arena, as well as you heard me talk about those flood projects, right, that I know are top of mind for folks. So really, this is about prioritization. This is a very challenging fiscal environment. And so, yeah, when I talk about things like revenue sharing, that is because, you know, that'll be down the line, you know, but I think we can always help our community by addressing some of these gaps that we know exist today and will be there in the future if we don't try to help ourselves.
Now, in front of you, when you walked in, I had a stack of these mailers that I've been getting at my house.
And David, I'm not going to read your address. I'm not going to dox you. Don't worry about that.
That's okay. So these are the mailers I've been getting from the Spurs organization.
Yep.
It's the pitch to get people to vote for propositions A and B. Mm-hmm. They are telling everyone, no a tax increase for you. It's only for the visitors to San Antonio. Mm-hmm. It's very, these are very slick, well-produced. And I was wondering if there's anything in these mailers that you thought, you know, they're going to tell the story that the Spurs want to tell. What is not in these mailers that you want potential voters to consider?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm thankful the voters will express their will here shortly. I actually just had a, as you know, I do a monthly town hall, and we just had one in D10. And probably a good two-thirds, if not 70% of the questions were, in fact, related to this. As folks are now, to your point, getting the flyers, they're seeing the commercials, they're seeing the billboards. And they are also thinking about all the things that I just raised. Right, which is the budget gap that we are anticipating, the challenging financial status in our community, and then yes, what they also anticipate coming down in the form of these federal cuts. So, I think what's important, and you know, we've tried to do this. Obviously, the vote is for the county piece of this, and I think. Some folks may be tracking, others may not, that, you know, these county resources certainly can go toward the arena. Just a reminder for folks, though, about other things that these resources have paid for. They've paid for parks. They've paid for green spaces. They paid for the Tobin Center, right? So I think, you know, the opportunity cost conversation is an important one. I think, you know, obviously as the city, we are still continuing to negotiate our community benefits agreement. I will say, I was surprised, you've heard me say, I was surprised that the ballot language doesn't include the dollar amount, because the dollar amount for Prop B is $311 million. I know the county does not have a community benefits agreement. The city, we have one now. I hope we'll continue to negotiate for an even better one. $75 million over 30 years. I'd like to do better, and I think we can. And I think we can, you know, continue to work on with the Spurs on negotiating these things.
So the entire idea behind the propositions A and B,
yeah.
Is that they're going to borrow money based on anticipated revenue from the venue tax. But if something happens to the tourism in San Antonio, we've seen a pandemic, we've mm-hmm. seen economies, you know, go in crisis before, this county still has to make good on those bonds. Mm-hmm. They still, and that money's got to come from other sources within the county. You know, so there is still that. That is also part of the you don't really see that part of the information in these presentations. Should people be aware of that?
That's an important piece of this.
Uh-huh. And so there's Prop A and Prop B. Prop B is for the arena. Prop A is for the Joe Freeman Coliseum. Mm. There where they want to do year-round rodeo. They're talking about, well, you know, they want to use that as a to revitalize the east side. Mm. And there's a lot of talk from the county about getting the golf course mm. that is next door to the Freeman Coliseum, mm-hmm. which is a city-owned mm-hmm. golf course.
Yeah, Willow Springs.
Willow Springs, which is over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And people play that course and they love that course. But is there... And it's been talked about like it's a must-have in order to do this East Side redevelopment plan. Have you heard anything about, you know, what the county is, how they're going to acquire? Or is there any talks with them about that? Because they were talking about it like it was something that it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, initial discussions, these discussions started before I got in the seat, and I think there's been a continued interest by the county in that particular piece of land. I know there are some differing visions on kind of what could go there, and I know, so I think those continue. I wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion.
Right, so the city is talking with the county about...
There have been discussions as of late, not anything as of late, though. I mean, a discussion probably, I don't know, probably in the last 6 weeks, maybe when I last sat down with, where we last had a kind of a longer conversation on this piece in particular with Judge Sakai. It was something that certainly he expressed interest in and has a couple of times.
Right. And this is one of the few green spaces actually that's in that part of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Although it's a golf course, not an open park, but you know, people would not be in favor of seeing it turned into a commercial area. So that's probably going to be part of the ongoing conversation.
Ongoing conversation.
Do you see that Proposition A, revitalization of the Freeman Coliseum, working the way that Judge Sakai is talking about doing if they don't get that Willow Springs golf course?
Well, I can't speak to all the plans that the judge has. I know there's some discussion about some type of kind of Gaylord hotel resort thing there. I'm not, again, those are conversations he's having, so I can't really speak to those. I know that he has shared that with me. I know there are some other ideas, though, about what would best serve community needs there. And so I think those are ongoing. I think Commissioner Calvert in particular has some other ideas about how to utilize that, something maybe more in line with veterinary training and services, I think, which would be not only in line with rodeo mission, but also in line with, frankly, good paying jobs and career paths for folks in our community. So I think, you know, those folks are looking at what that vision might look like, and certainly the city looks to be a good partner with them.
Right, so there's a potential for something there. All right, we're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment for Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, when I come back, I want to ask you about what's happening with the Rainbow Crosswalk. And, you know, that's, you know, a sore point there. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Hello, I'm Morgan Handley, Vice President of Programs with Corazon Ministries. Our vision is a community where everyone has a safe place to call home and the support to sustain a healthy life. You can help us bring that vision closer. During TPR's fall fundraising drive, when you become a new or upgraded sustaining TPR member, an anonymous funder will cover the cost of securing an ID for a person experiencing homelessness. That one step opens the way to housing, work, and vital services. Visit TPR.org to make your gift. Thanks.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. Let's talk about that crosswalk on Main Street. It's beautiful, multicolored, welcoming. It is inclusive. You know, I love it. But we're hearing from Governor Greg Abbott. It's got to go because it's a traffic hazard. What kind of communication is happening with the governor about this crosswalk? Where are we on this?
Yeah. So we received a letter last week from TxDOT indicating that we'd have 30 days to remove these things. And not just those things that were kind of were communicating some political message, if you will. And the context, as you described, was safety. In fact, no, we don't have data at this point that suggests that these crosswalks in any way make those areas less safe. I think some of us would argue they actually make the areas more safe because they are welcoming, right?
And they're bright.
And they're bright.
You see them.
What
this
you
is
need
a crosswalk.
That's
Let
right.
people crosswalk.
That's right. But look, I think we're not stupid, right? We know what's going on here. This is unfortunately in line with continued attacks against my LGBTQ community. And so, you know, call it whatever you want. But I think we all know what's happening here. And, you know, we also know this is not unlike what we're seeing in other states as they period. So I think what's important, though, and I have shared, you know, with anybody who asks is, look, we don't live in Illinois. We don't live in California. We live in Texas. And so we have to be smart and pragmatic and be thoughtful about how any actions or any words that we speak, which might make us feel good in the moment, could invite a whole world of hurt for some communities that are already very vulnerable in our community. So we are waiting to get more information from the state. Apparently, they're supposed to provide kind of an inventory of things in each community that they think fall under their description. So we'll await that, and so we understand the full scope of what's being asked here. And look, we got to pick our battles. But look, what I would encourage folks to do, if you really want to support the LGBTQ community, go support LGBTQ-owned businesses. Go to the LGBTQ Chamber of Commerce website here in San Antonio. Go look at those businesses that are either LGBTQ-owned or ally-owned, and go support them, right? That is how you can be a good ally, a good supporter of our community.
All right, let's go to Jeff on the phones. And Jeff, you're on the air with Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. Go ahead.
Hi, Mayor Jones, and thank you very much for defending and coming to the LGBTQ. We support LGBTQ businesses. My question is this: we were talking about the bond issues. Is the bond issue $1.2 billion or is it less than that? Because even at a 4.5% max, let's say high rate for bonds, that's $54 million a year. And I know we're going to tier the structure of the bonds, you know, short term, mid term, and long term, but even if we have to weather a downturn, it's $54 million during the for the year of payments. That's certainly worth it if we can afford it. So I just want to know, you know, how that bond structure is working. I'm pretty sure they're revenue bonds, and if they are, then the revenue will pay for that, despite if tourism comes down. So without extending my time, I'll listen to it on the radio. Thank you.
All right, Jeff, thank you for that. So how does that work?
Yeah, look, I think right now it's described as the Spurs and developers. And so, I mean, as we just talked about some of the financial considerations in our community, we really want to make sure that we have as many layers of protection for our community as possible. I mean, the development as now. I mean, if you were, I think the only thing that's really called for in there is the hotel and a couple of other things. And so that $1.2 billion doesn't actually go as far as I think many of us would like it to go. So I think just being very clear about who's on the hook if those things don't play out. But also, let's be clear about how much that actually gets us in this day and age. I mean, the fact that things are much more expensive than they were even just 1-2 years ago. And so we should be clear about the ROI for our community. I thought you were actually asking about the bond for our infrastructure bond, a general obligations bond that we do every 5 years. And that is, in fact, significantly less.
So there is a proposal to move the Saws Water Chiller building, which is downtown across from the street from the Grand Hyatt Hotel on Market and Commerce. This is a building that is used to chill water for HVAC, purposes in the convention center and other government buildings in downtown San Antonio. They want to put a hotel there, move that chiller building someplace else. That could be very expensive.
Yep.
This is thought to be something that could be another big component for Project Marvel. What are your thoughts? Is this necessary? I mean, and this is money that will be coming out of SAWS. Would this impact ratepayers?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. When we think about the big financial picture, right, I sit on the board of both SAWS as well as the board of CPS, and both of those entities will come to the council next year for a rate increase. CPS in line with their power projection plan, and SAWS in light of, frankly, many, many years of delayed capital projects. Some of these things should have been done years ago. My goodness.
Right, so they could be spending money to move a building, which they don't need to move instead of doing some of these other projects.
To be very clear, though, the SAWS ask will be based on the rate increase, and they're still scoping it out, but it'll be based on the need for these delayed capital projects. They have already said the rate increase that they come to us with next year does not include the cost to move the chilled water plant. When I asked about how much that would cost a couple of B sessions ago, that cost is not south of $200 million. So the rate increase that SAWS will bring to us next year does not account for that cost.
So there's a lot more talk that needs to be done about that situation. Anyway, we got to wrap up here. Thank you so much, Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. Appreciate you coming in today, giving these important updates.
Thanks.
My name is Stephen Fowler, and I'm a politics reporter for NPR based in the South. When the DOGE initiative said that it was saving taxpayers billions of dollars by firing federal workers and making wholesale changes to government, through hours and hours of research and fact-checking, we did reporting that found that was not the case. We brought the receipts. NPR's coverage of government restructuring isn't just for and about people in D.C. It's reporting from member stations across the country, bringing the impacts in their local communities, whether you're in Washington, D.C., or Atlanta, or Anchorage, Alaska. I think right now what the audience needs from NPR is more community, more information, more understanding. When you donate to this station, that's the type of journalism you support. Please give to this station today.
The number to call is 800-622-8977. You could also do that on your handy-dandy smartphone app. You probably have it in your hand or in your pocket or next to you right now. All you do is just move that thumb around a little bit and fire it up and hit the donate button and make that happen. Or you could also go to tpr.org, and while you're there, check out our website. It is updated throughout the day with the most current news and information, things you need to know about San Antonio, Texas, and the whole world. And this is a cool thing to have. Dan Katz is with us in the studio now to tell us more about how we're doing on our Texas Public Radio Fall Fundraising Drive. Dan?
We are in a challenge right now looking to raise $10,000 by 3 p.m. to unlock an additional $5,000 in challenge funding. And I am happy to report that we are now down to $6,547 left to raise. We are making some progress. We want to say thank you to Linda Pipkins from Hunt, Texas, for upgrading your membership to TPR. We now have 567 sustainers or upgraded sustainers during the drive. Also want to say thank you to donors from Floresville, Bernie, Helotes, and Pipe Creek. We are looking to raise $6,547 before 3 p.m., and we are counting on Source listeners to come through for us. You know, programs like The Source, they're essential for building strong, connected communities. The Source offers a platform for local voices, and it tackles issues that directly impact our neighborhoods and highlight stories that often go unnoticed. And by focusing on a range of topics, from downtown development to the local elections coming up to the latest social science book you need to read, these shows create a space for people to come together, to engage, to make their voices heard. In a world full of a lot of noise, The Source helps bring the conversation directly home, where it matters most. So support it with a pledge right now. It'll do a whole lot of good during this challenge. 800-622-8977, 800-622-8977, tpr.org.
And that's why this is a call-in program. We want people to have their opportunity to have their say and ask their questions. They call in, they can ask the mayor a question, they could ask the guy that we had on before about Proposition 16, their questions. And, you know, this is your radio station. This is a chance to make this a community voice for you. And this is a rarity. Not all public radio stations have this opportunity to do this. And it's only this is a dream. This was the dream. When I started working at Texas Public Radio and started doing things here 25 years ago, this is where we wanted to go. We're always strategizing. How do we get here? And it was get there bit by bit, make it happen, figure out a way. We don't have a huge staff, but we have people with a lot of passion. And behind that, we have listeners with a lot of passion as well. And they show that by supporting us day in and day out, by becoming sustainers. We know that you're out there and you're depending on us and you're cheering for us and you want us to do good work. And that's why it gives me more strength to go out there and do more reporting. 800-622-8977. We cherish every pledge. We know that it's not easy for some folks to, you know, provide that funding, but we cherish it. We know it's important. Visit us at tpr.org and go to the TPR app.
Just like we built up The Source little by little over 25 years, staying on track during the pledge drive is a little by little thing to hit a big number, $1 million for public broadcasting in our community. But staying on track during the drive isn't just about hitting that number. It's about keeping the station strong and independent. And when we meet our pledge challenges, we unlock that crucial matching funds, in this case, $5,000 extra dollars. So if you give $5 a month, you're helping us achieve a $5,000 challenge challenge grant for this programming. So if you're listening now and you haven't given yet, this is your moment to make a real impact. Help us stay on track, meet our goals, and keep the programming you love going strong. 800-622-8977, tpr.org, and thank you so much.